Well, once again, greetings, dear friends, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be with all of you for our Wednesday Bible classes. We've just finished in this particular Wednesday class dealing with the feast of the Lord in Israel. And for about the last 2 years, we've been dealing with those feasts, finally bringing that study to its close in the Feast of Tabernacles. And for the last couple of sessions, I've been coming from that to deal with the fulfillment of all of the feasts summed up as a whole, and summed up in Christ Himself, and in our relationship with Him, of which relationship all of these feasts were also a type and shadow. So we're going to be dealing for a while in we'll just let the Lord direct several sessions concerning our union with Christ, more particularly the reality of being in Christ. I've read to you many times from John 14:20, and that day you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. And so we're looking at this reality of union, and we're focusing in this particular series that we're dealing with, we're focusing upon our being in Christ, the reality of being in Christ. What does that mean? And all the things that are gathered into that union, into that relationship, into that fellowship that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let me just read to you here in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Just for a baseline in this session right now. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. With Christ. And he's speaking of a body being quickened together with Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ here. We would only need to look at chapter 1 and how chapter 1 ends, given him who he has raised up in power and might and dominion, a name above every name that is named, given him to be head over all things to the church, not the church which is a particular denomination, not the church which is a particular organization, not the church which was in those days Judaism, no, not that. The church which is his body, fullness of him who filleth all in all. Then from that he comes to what we just read, showing our union with him through salvation, through Christ dwelling in you, through you and I being quickened together, given life, quickened together, raised together out from among the dead by the resurrection and the life who dwells in us, whose body we are, and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So let me just continue to read that here in the scripture. Even when we were dead in sins, because he first says over here in chapter 1, with regard to Christ, I may as well just read it. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the expectation of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding, all of this, that you may know, that you may come to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, which actually in the Greek means the exceeding greatness of his power in us. I mean, that's the truth. In us. Who believe. So what is the exceeding greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from among the dead. And in chapter 2, you're going to see the working of that mighty power. But first, Paul's focus is upon the head of the body. His focus is upon Christ, whose body we are. Hun, in all these months, our focus has been upon Christ in every one of the feasts of Israel. Beginning with Passover, and that took us back, well, to the beginning of Exodus in the scripture, to the very Passover. And our focus there was upon not really Israel. Oh, yes, Israel, all of that, God's delivering Israel, but the focus there, even in reading the scripture, the Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the Pharaoh, and he was speaking to Moses to speak to the Pharaoh concerning Israel, but it was unto Moses that God spoke concerning his own being, his own self. And then in dealing with Israel, and Moses relating that to Israel, God's focus was not on Israel as a bunch of people, but on Israel representatively as one son. Tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Why? Because he was about to bring them out from among the dead, firstborn out from among the dead, which of course is fulfilled in Christ. Which, of course, is fulfilled in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying right here. He is first talking about Christ, raised up out from among the dead, the power of the resurrection, the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ. And set him at his own right hand, in heavenlies. Places shouldn't be there. In heaven. We've talked about this. Far above all principality and power. Even in the type and shadow. Because Israel there was certainly at that point in time, and in this little series, right, little session this morning, certainly represented principalities and powers. Israel had been there for 400 years, or the Hebrews had been there for 400 years. And you know that story. But the whole thing is that everything that was there in type and shadow is brought right over to its fulfillment in Christ. But our focus in all of these feasts has not really been on Israel. It's been upon the one to whom all of these feasts, and of which all of these feasts, was a testimony. The testimony of God given to Israel of Jesus Christ in all of these feasts. So Christ is preeminent in all of these feasts. And Israel is joined together with him. And he dwells in the midst of Israel. And that is seen. But the preeminent one and the focal point is upon Christ himself. And that's what happens here. Paul's, the object here is Christ himself. First Christ, then those in whom he dwells. First Christ, then those who dwell in him. Because if you took Christ out of this picture, nothing else would remain. The Alpha, the Omega, he is first in the order of our salvation. Because here we're not dealing with things, we're dealing with the person whose body we are. And in these sessions, at least the first few of them, the emphasis is going to be very much on that, the one whose body we are. You'll see that because there's no point in doing a series of lessons on the body unless you begin with both the head and the foundation and the substance and the fullness of that body. Notice how Paul does that here in this epistle. First, raised him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name. My Lord, hon, look at the foundation here. Look at the one. Look at the one in whom we come to dwell. And look at the one who dwells in us. And by so doing, is made unto us everything involving our state of being, our new state of being, everything involving our new birth, everything involving our baptism, everything involving our resurrection and life, everything involving our union with him. It's all summed up in Christ. And that's something we need to mark down and just keep our minds upon. Because yes, we're going to be dealing with you and I, but we're going to be dealing with you and I in view of him. Dealing with you and I concerning our union with him. That's the whole point. That was the point with all of these. You heard me say that I don't know how many times. Of all of those feasts. Well, hon, those were the types and shadows. And now we're dealing with the reality. and the reality with which we are dealing is found in Christ Himself, and only found in Christ Himself. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, my word, every name that is named, not only in that which is the natural world, but that which is in the spirit as well. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. It saddens my heart. Not so much to hear what unbelievers say, or non-believers, or those of other religions, or just outright atheists have to say concerning Christ. But it saddens me more to hear what many in the church world, the world of Christianity as a religion, say. Because there's so many in their doctrinal ideas are still waiting for something to be put under His feet. For death to be put under His feet. But you say they have confused the biblical definition of death for the Adamic. The natural definition of death is, that definition would be when this body, when these natural bodies cease to function. But that's not biblically what death is all about. It's that death which is by sin. That death which is sin. The whole economy of sin. Well, I can't dwell on that any longer. But look at this verse 21. I'll read it again. Above all principality and power and might, dominion, every name. I mean, go back to Genesis. Every name. Think of all the names. Just every name. That is named. Not only in this world, but in that which is to come, that which is come in Christ. And this, you'll find that's what this is saying. And hath, because all of these things are hath, all of these things are what Paul knows God hath done in Christ, and he's speaking this that the church may come to know the significance of their relationship with Christ, and that they would come to understand their salvation. And I want you and I to come to a greater, an ever ongoing greater, a greater understanding of our salvation. Not one that is simply connected with sin, but one that is greater than sin, than death, than hell, than any other power, any other authority, any other name. A salvation that goes beyond sin. A salvation that encompasses more than forgiveness of sins, but goes to the very heart and soul of it and destroys it. Destroys it. Well, we can't say everything in one session, but I'm trying to stir our thoughts up to why it's important we come to understand this union that is ours through new birth. Because Christ dwells in every truly born-again believer, whether they've ever been taught that reality or not. If they are born from above, Christ is the one who is in you. It is by His very Spirit that He dwells in those who are born of that Spirit. And how that we are baptized by that self-same Spirit into Christ and become partakers with Him in His death and burial and resurrection. Christ in you. And that's what we're talking about here. Just in these opening verses. But the focus is always upon Him. Even when we begin to focus upon the body, the focus is still first upon the head, because the head identifies the whole body. And hath put all... Now, things has been added here because we're not really dealing with a lot of things at all. We're dealing with two different economies, two different ages, two different worlds. That's true. Two different creations. One of humanity, one a new creation wherein is not found the terms of humanity at all. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor. No. But Christ, all and in all. And we're not going toward anything that even resembles, because I'll tell you enough along the way, you'll understand that. But we're not going to something that even resembles you and I becoming Christ. Lord, Lord. I don't know why people say that. Some do it. I don't know. You might as well just take your Bible out, pour gasoline on it, set it on fire, be done with it. We're not Christ, we're His body. We're not Christ, yet we have no life but Him. Listen to what Paul says. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Now, you'd think that would cover all of that I business in relation to me, in relation to you. You'd think it would. But the non-hearing ear and the non-seeing eye and that that is motivated by natural understanding just seems to go over it. Not I, but Christ. Who liveth in me. Someone added to that, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in these sessions, so I'll mention as someone has added to that, some several ones, in fact. Not I, but Christ in me as me. And I just I have no adjective for it. I have no description for it. But what a falsification. It isn't even hinted to there. Not I. Not me. And look in the rest of Paul's epistle. You'll never find that kind of terminology, because it isn't the truth. My first point right now in this little lesson is to emphasize God's view of this union, which is Christ Himself. That's God's view of this union, hon. That is God's view of this union. Let me read something to you. I wrote here on this particular printout, all of God's dealings with us, with you, with me, are in Christ. And that's true. Acts 24:24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And that's not just saying faith in Christ like you'd say, oh, I've got faith in this well-bred horse that I'm riding, or I've got faith in this automobile that it won't break down on me till I get into it. That isn't it. This is faith which is in Christ. It is a relationship of being. A relationship of being. And it is out from that that Paul speaks. It is out from that that Paul did everything that he did once coming to that relationship. But come on to Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Once again, it is speaking of an inward relationship, a relationship that speaks of a state of being, a state of being. We'll come to that in a minute, probably. Well, maybe we won't. We will, because I'll read it. But in this printout, then Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And the rest of that verse has been added there. And in Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, see, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Hon, in Christ Jesus is where we are. By new birth, by baptism, by the power of the indwelling Christ, in Christ is where we are. Paul probably uses this term more than any other single term in all of his epistles. This reference to our being in Christ. Either saying it in Christ Jesus, in whom, then in the Beloved. It is all saying the same thing. How is it that God deals with you and I? He deals with you and I as being in Christ. That's how He deals with us. He deals with us from that standpoint, from that focus point, from His understanding concerning that union. He deals with us, seeking to bring us to His understanding concerning that union. Romans 8:29, seems all of my references here on the printout are there. Well, they're throughout that book. nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This whole thought begins at verse 1, but come on down with me to verse 17. And then spend some time reading from verse 1 to verse 17 later. "Therefore," and that's referring to that which he says above, "therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." We're going to read about that in just a minute. I haven't forgotten where I started. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away." And that takes into it takes into it everything that is not of a new creation. I mean, it takes a bunch. Not just the old economy of Israel, not just the law, all of that. But he goes all the way back into the garden with Adam, who was told, "The day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die." Goes all the way back to there. Nothing of the old. Nothing of the first. That's another name that's used for it. I come to take away the first, to establish the second. And there in Hebrews 10, you can read that. The first man, the second man. Old things. Why? Because that new creation is in Christ. And none of that is found in Christ. He took it all to the cross. He gathered it all into his own body that was prepared for him of God in order that he might die, become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He gathered all of that whole creation, Adamic creation, and everything that goes along with it. That was his death, hon. That was his death. The whole economy of sin and sin itself. Mankind, the old creation, that was his death. He gathered it all into himself on the cross and put it to death. And he came forth just as I said to you when I first started with the Passover, firstborn out from among the dead. He came forth as the ultimate fulfillment of the firstborn out from among the dead. That is the new birth. He, that one, who come out in the power of His resurrection, fulfilling what He had spoken concerning Himself when He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And fulfilling what I just read to you in the first chapter of Ephesians there in verse 20, 21, 22, and 23. That's Him. That's the one with whom we have to do. That's the one who dwells in us and in whom we now dwell. That very one. And that's why old things are passed away. It's not up to me to get rid of them, but for me, in the seeing of Him, to reckon in truth what He hath done. Old things are passed away. Behold is the much better and the only correct translation of the rest of that verse, because it says, behold, all things are become new. Well, the better translation, the translation that goes back farther than any other into the manuscript is, behold, the new is come. And the new, hon, is Christ Himself. And He is the only one who is new. When we receive, in Romans 6, when we receive newness of life, that's His life. When we're told in John's last letter to the churches, now I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, John quotes this one as saying, I make all things new. Yeah. That means there's nothing of the old in Him. And we're not talking about new as to age or old as to age, but as to substance. Substance. So if any man be in Christ, in the first place, that's where you and I, as a soul, has our, you and I as a soul have our being. We have our being. We come into being by new birth, by being in Christ. Let's read about that being. I started it a while ago now in chapter 2. We, in time past, walked in a whole new order of things, or a whole old order of things, you know, a whole different order of things. We read that. Under the prince of the power of this world, and so forth and so on. But then through the cross, then through the love of God, wherewith He loved us. I just got through reading that. With which He hath loved us. It's the same thing. It's Christ Himself. What did He do? Having first raised up this Son, now what? by the very Spirit of that Son, hath quickened us together as one body, together as one. As one. One what? One body. One body. Because that's what he's talking about here in this letter. Just go back a few sentences. Hath given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. How did we become that body? Then he goes on to tell us. First, he establishes the head of it and the fullness of it and the allness of this one. And then he identifies us as that body and how we became that body. Not by joining something and signing a card. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I'm telling you that's not the way it works in the heavens. That's not the way it works in the spirit. I mean, you know, you can join what you want to join. But that's not what it's all about, is it? We're not in him by natural birth. We're in him by being born from above. Hath quickened us, given life, life-quickening spirit. That's who he is. He is more than life-quickening spirit. It's a better way to say that, and that is the ever-quickening spirit of life himself. It's Christ. Hath quickened us, one body with Christ. See, that makes sense. One body with Christ. Yes, Christ, the head, and you and I, his body, joined together by one spirit, which spirit he is. By grace you are saved. Hath raised us up together as one body, and made set together where? In the heavens. Heavenly places in King James is actually translated in heaven. In heaven. In Christ Jesus. Where the head is, there the body is also. Why? Because he's in you. And that's what he said in John 14. Starts out talking about the Father's household. And it's a household, not some big mansion hidden. No, it's my Father's household. Many dwelling places. I go and prepare myself a place for you. Where is he going? Into his death, burial, and resurrection. And in verse 3 he says, and he goes on and says, if this wasn't so, I wouldn't be telling you it was so. I will come again. And the word again there is anew. Yes, in newness of spirit, in newness of life. Not in flesh, body, to die, not this time. But in newness of life, dwelling in many, whom he makes by that dwelling, whom he makes to be his eternal body. His body. His house. Bless the Lord. But let me go on. What does he say? I will come anew, and I will receive you where? Because we're reading about how he did it. Right here, we're reading about how he did it. I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, you, the word there has been added, you may be also. Hallelujah, folks. And then he goes on, and in verse 20 of that John 14, that's when he says, you shall know I'm in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. Verse 4, reading again here in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love, wherewith he has loved us, you will know I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. Oh, there is the love of God made manifest in Christ Jesus. Hath quickened us, who had no life at all, were dead in sin, no life at all. The judgment of that had come by the cross. But the grace of God, abounding in Christ, hath quickened us together with Christ, raised us up out from among the dead. Out from among the dead. Because the one who is the resurrection and the life received us unto himself and dwells in us. And not only that, but then has seated us, established us, placed us in Christ Jesus. In a whole new order of things, a heavenly order. The world that was talked about as that was yet to come, that was promised and was to come, is now come in Christ, came in Christ. And that's what Paul is writing about. That new creation, that union, being in Christ. I just wanted us to start off today by looking at the reality of being in Christ. Because this is a reality that is eternal. Because it's all gathered up, summed up, in the reality, I am in you. See? I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. What a union. What a glorious reality. And it is the reality of our salvation. So that's what we're talking about here. And presenting to you just in these verses. Now, this reality cannot be understood as a thing. It has to be understood as our union with the person. See, we're not the body of religion. Ah, 10 minutes. We're not the body of religion, Christian religion. No, no, we're not. We're the body of Christ. Oh, darling. The necessity of coming to comprehend that. All right, it's time to close this session. I want to do it in chapter 4. The necessity. These terminologies are used because they are real. Ephesians 4. Verse 13, I'm just cutting right into it there. We'll talk about it at some other time in its context. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that is the building up of what? The body of Christ. That means the whole thing. That means the whole body. One of the reasons that in this place we are seeking every day new means and other means of reaching out into the whole body of Christ around the world. And we're reaching to you who are watching today, no matter where you are. You may be in one of the African countries or one of the other hemispheres of the world. You're around the world. Some of you are in this country, wherever. My point is, you're there in Christ. You're there as the body of Jesus Christ. Till we all come for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 12, till, and that's not some hour, some day, or some future date. It means unto the goal, unto the purpose. Till we all come in. And there's that word again. In the unity of the faith. And it's the faith of the Son of God that he's talking about. And he defines it here. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, which is the Son of God. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here's my verse, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now here is the point of being body and Christ being head, because you see, we're not a religion. We are not a religion. Christ isn't the head of a religion. He is the head of his body. Now I know that what has been made of that has been made into a religion, but hon, it's much more than that. It is a living union with the living Spirit of God dwelling in you. And so our focus is going to be as his body upon him as the head. Now I said that, but look, Paul is still saying that several chapters over in this letter. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in what? In all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And that's what we're trying to do here today, as one joint supplying to another joint this glorious reality of our being in Christ and being there as his body. And all of this, darling, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're here for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to share with you. Wherever you are, whenever it is that you're watching this, thank you for allowing us to share with you. May the Lord richly bless. And thank you who from time to time and over time have been so precious to share with us in your support in order that we can continue this outreach. I mean, we're not going to vanish off of this mountain. I'm not saying, you know, to help us open the doors tomorrow. No. But the outreach is ever ongoing. The outreach ever increases. And we appreciate those who help us continue in that increase. May the Lord bless you who are able to do that. So, we'll be with you again in this Wednesday night class. In Raven's Wednesday night class and in all of the other classes that we have put together here. And we look forward to seeing you in person. And in fact, this coming weekend we will be in Tazewell, Virginia, Friday and Saturday and Sunday in a fall regional Bible conference there. In Tazewell, Virginia. And we look forward to being there with those folks. If you have any questions about that, you can give us a phone call here and we'll be happy to. But Tazewell, Virginia, and the church there is what is the name of that building? Lighthouse, I think. Anyway, most of you know that are watching this, and the ones of you who aren't are probably too far to do anything about it anyway. But we'll be there in that Bible conference this weekend in Tazewell, Virginia, with brother and sister, Carr as the pastors there, and we look forward to having you with us if you watch this between now and then, and maybe up in that area somewhere. Tell you what you can do. You can call Raven, you can call me on the phone today, you can do it tomorrow. We'll be traveling tomorrow and we'll tell you how to get there. Lord bless folks. Talk with you in our next session. Amen.